Hello and welcome to our first ever podcast from the Dementia Experience. Here we chat to people who have experience of dementia, either through their family, their friends, or who work with those in the dementia sector. My name is Clara Hebblethwaite, and my mum, Patricia, has been through the Dementia Experience in the sense that she's got vascular dementia currently. And we have had some serious trials and tribulations over the last few years. However, we have discovered that some of the smallest things can make such a huge difference. My guest today, therefore, is Donna Marie Searle, one of my bestest people that I've met in the last year or so. She is a fantastic entrepreneur. She is a care home entertainer and she is a wellness enthusiast. So welcome, Donna.
Thank you.
Really, really lovely to have you with us today.
Thank you for asking me.
Well, I couldn't think of anyone better to kick this series
Brilliant.
Off. Like, you have summed up all of the enthusiasm, all of the sort of love and understanding that we as a family have needed. And my mum responded to you immediately. Can you tell us about that first time you met my mum in her care home back in February last year?
Well, I suppose we had two first meetings. The first meeting was when I came and did the first pom-pom disco, as you call it.
Yeah.
And then I had the one-to-one with her. But I'll tell you a bit about that in a second. Yeah, so the care home entertaining that I do, I basically go into care homes with a bag of pom-poms and a speaker. And I am myself, I give the pom-poms out and I sing and dance and I'll do anything to get a smile from anyone. And your mum was absolutely amazing. I wasn't quite sure what to expect. I mean, I know you and Ben and you're lovely people and your mum was just like off the wall crazy with energy and with, you know, her language was whatever she wanted it to be.
Absolutely. She's
and I just, you know, you don't bat an eyelid, you just get on with it. And she smiled, she laughed, she told me where to go when she'd had enough of my face. And yeah, she thoroughly enjoyed it. And the whole place erupted, didn't it?
It did.
I mean, it was so quiet when we went in there.
Yeah.
You have a little bit of nerves because you're never quite sure how they're going to take you.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was fantastic. I had goosebumps.
Yeah.
And everybody got up and danced.
Yeah.
Even the like the people that were coming in to visit were up with their parents dancing, and it was wonderful.
It was genuine electricity, wasn't it? And like you said, it was so quiet in the care home when we arrived.
I know.
And I think they'd just had lunch. Some of them were snoozing.
Yep.
And it felt like you basically plugged them in.
Yeah.
It felt like they really, really, the electricity flowed through their veins. And as you said, some of us, including me and you, we were in floods of tears
because
it
just brings warmth and happiness to you that you've gone into somewhere that's quiet and dull. They had some music on in the background, so we just turned that off, put my music on. Normally I have it on where it's far too loud and everyone jumps out of their seats and then just the smiles start coming.
Yeah.
And some people are absolutely, don't give me one of those. I'm not a child. I don't want to play with a pom-pom.
Yeah.
But by the end of the session, they're singing and dancing and, you know, they realise that it's not about being a child or it is about being a child. It's being whatever you want to be for that time that we're together.
And that, you've hit the nail on the head there. It is so important to tap into the idea of fun, of freedom, of just not caring.
Yeah.
In that moment, and you're definitely not asking them to be 3-year-olds again.
No. And some people, I mean, some of the families that come in sometimes give me a bit of an odd look, but then when they see how it changes their loved ones,
yes,
they're just over the moon.
Yeah,
you know, I've never had anybody complain.
No.
I mean, some people just think it's a little bit loud sometimes. So they just, you know, if I can tell somebody's not enjoying it because it's too loud, then I just wave over to a carer and just say, they're not enjoying it. Can you?
Yeah.
And they'll go into another room for the time that I'm there. But that's very rare, to be honest with you.
What is it? Why do you think music and your kind of fun and sense of, you know, your ability to connect with people, why do you think that makes it?
I sort of thought about this earlier because I was such a selfish teenager.
Me too.
And I will go back a tiny little bit. I was a selfish teenager. It was all about me. I was depressed. I was this, I was that. And it was just all about me.
Yeah.
And then my grandmother got ill with cancer. And that was a terrible moment for me. It really shook my world. And I went downhill. And then I suppose as I was coming out of that, you know, I was walking along the road one day and I noticed an old person sort of shy away from younger people as they were walking, as if to say, are you going to pounce on me? Are you going to do something to me?
Yeah.
Really scared. And it's always stayed in my head. And I've just always had a love for older people. Yeah. And I, you know, my dad used to have a news agent and we had a lot of the elderly community coming in and buying their quarter pound of sweets and their newspapers and stuff. And we had a few people that you definitely noticed that they had some issues.
Yeah.
And I really liked to make them feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And I like to make people smile.
Yeah.
So it's just the perfect job for me. It really is.
But that's brilliant that you found it.
Yeah.
Had you experimented with all sorts of other work?
Well, I'm a personal trainer.
Yeah.
I've done that training. I lived in Hong Kong for a while, 13 years. And I think the thing that gave me the idea was when I was out there, a young man came over and he asked me to get together a few Zumba instructors. Mm-hmm. I was a Zumba instructor because he wanted to go into care homes and help the elderly.
Yeah.
He's now Oomph in the UK, which is absolutely massive. Wow. I can't remember his name right now. But yeah, that gave me the idea. When I came back to the UK, I just felt like toning things down a bit. I wasn't quite as whoop as I was over there, although that's changed. I'm back there now. And I just thought, it's to give back a little bit, you know?
Yeah. And in return, like we've always said, we get the buzz just
absolutely.
As much.
Absolutely. I definitely enjoy it as much as then. There's hardly ever a session that goes by where I don't have a goosebump moment.
Yeah.
Like yesterday when I was at Northium and I had my Easter egg outfit on.
Tell us about that.
Well, I just thought it's nice to have a little bit of a theme.
Yeah.
And I don't care what I do. Yeah. I don't care if I look stupid or what people think, as long as I'm making someone happy.
Yeah.
That really is my buzz. So I've just got this massive Easter egg outfit that you put on. My head sticks out the top, my legs stick out the bottom.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm quite happy to say, do you like my outfit?
Yeah.
I'm an Easter egg. I'm an Easter egg. And
some
of them just look at me as if to say, what on earth?
Yeah.
And then the others are like, oh, my God, that's absolutely amazing. And they're laughing and poking each other.
Yeah.
And yeah,
and,
so.
And regardless of their reaction, you're creating a reaction.
Exactly.
You're preventing.
And making a memory in
there.
And I know it's all about memory, but the music sticks in their minds. The fact that they've had a fun time.
Yes.
They might not remember what it was, but they know they had a good time and that feeling stays with them.
Yes. So that is interesting, isn't it? That the detail is irrelevant.
Yeah.
All those details that we hold on to as younger people that we're obsessed with, the timings of things, et cetera, and who's got what in terms of, you know, houses or holidays.
Oh, I know.
That's
it's
all
irrelevant.
Yeah.
Absolutely irrelevant.
So it boils down to what? To those key feelings.
Absolutely. Making those moments last and stick and creating new ones while you're there. And, you know, they may not last, but the moments happened.
Yeah.
So it is there.
Yeah.
And so, just, you know, leaving the room afterwards when you've had everybody asleep and then you've woken them up and then they're all waving to you. Goodbye, goodbye.
Yes.
Come back soon. Come back soon.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
And I knew from that first disco that you did at Mum's Care Home that you would be her ultimate one-to-one person.
It was an exceptional session, that session was. I was absolutely thrilled. Yeah, and you even brought your friend with you, didn't you? And
yeah.
She loved it. And
she wanted to come on New Year's
Everybody
Eve.
Was up.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really
But
good.
Now the one-to-ones that you do with with people in care homes, again, is that going a little bit deeper in the sense of that relationship that you're creating?
Yeah, so I did the course over Christmas, what was it called?
Principles
of Dementia, that's right.
Yeah.
So it took me about 3 months.
Brilliant.
And it's very in-depth. It's not just one of those online courses that you do and you think, oh, I'll just send a few pieces of paper off. It's full on.
Yeah.
It's a full on course. And it really gave me a really good eye-opener to what the carers deal with in the care homes and where they do the most amazing job, but they're small in such a big field, you know, so many carers or not so many carers to so many residents.
Yeah, they're stretched.
There's only so much that they can do. So to have a bond with somebody and then be able to go in off your own back and just go into the care home, take that person where you want them and then spend an hour with them, either going through memory books with them, painting their nails, I do hand massages, we play games.
Yeah.
You know, using my personal training background, if they're more mobile, I can take them for walks around the building and do some exercises.
Yeah.
And that is working with the family as well, you know. And then we've got physiotherapists giving paperwork that I can follow that are going to help somebody that's had a hip replacement, just to keep them more mobile if they need to get in a car when they want to go out for a trip with the family.
Fantastic.
So personalising
it. Yeah, you're sprinkling the sort of love dust, as it were, on top of what the carers are already doing.
Yeah.
And you're more than a relative in the sense that they can't press your buttons to the extent that perhaps they could with a relative.
Yeah.
Mum, I know, ups her game when she sees you.
It does take time to get to know what you can do and what you can't do, because they're not your family.
Yes.
But, you know, by the end, you know, once you've got to know them, you can go in and do whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
Even if it's sort of help the carers out and they're saying, can you take her to the room? We need to do something or whatever. Yes. Whereas before I would have been very nervous just to keep them in the chair and not take them anywhere.
Yes.
But yeah, you really get to know what they're capable of. And then what, you know, if you get there one day and they're just like, absolutely do not want to talk to you today.
Yeah.
Don't push it. You just don't push it. You go with it. Obviously, you don't just say, no, that's fine, I'm not going to. I will stay around a little bit longer. I'll move away, give them some time, come back. And if they're still not into talking to me, then we'll move it to another day.
Yeah. So you 100% have to go with the flow.
Definitely the person-centred approach. Yeah, you've got to go with the flow. Absolutely.
So that person-centred approach, is that something you picked up on that
course?
Yeah,
that was the main thing that I picked up on, just the word person-centred approach. It's all about that person. And this is where it takes it from not being about me as a teenager to then coming to actually everything I do now is to make somebody else happy.
Yes.
I just want to make sure that they're getting the best care that they can have, the most out of the sessions that we do, and really listening to what they need.
Yeah.
You really have to take the time.
Yes.
It's not, you can't be dash in, dash out. There is no time.
Yeah, because the carers don't have the time. As you said, they're so task orientated.
Yeah.
They've got to get into the next meal or get into the next shower or medication.
Exactly, there's so much to get done.
Yeah. So you can go in with perhaps, that time, that energy that's different, because the person with dementia will feed off your vibe.
Absolutely.
If you're relaxed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Do you find that they
match? I do. Yeah. I really love going in and just taking my time with them.
Yes.
I'm just thinking about it now, some of the sessions that I've had. I've got a couple of ladies, your mother included.
Yeah.
And they're both very, very different. Another lady that I had was very mobile, and I did a lot of personal training and exercise stuff with her. But over the last few months, her ability has diminished.
Yeah.
So we've had to sort of change things up. So I do a lot of memory work now. And when she's not interested in talking, or sometimes her verbal communication is not what it was, I'll get Alexa to play, and we'll be in the area with other people, and we'll just start singing. The one-to-one side of things is great, because I'm allowed to take videos and pictures, whereas you're not allowed to normally through GDPR.
Yeah.
So I can send the family videos of her mum singing
or
clapping along to anything that I'm doing.
Yes.
It's wicked.
So that keeps them connected.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you find sometimes, and I'm guilty of this as well, sometimes the families just can't face that day with that loved one in the care home. And so they really value you as the sort
of
replacement.
And they may live far away as well, so it's not as easy for them to come.
Yeah.
And they may have a big family, but those families have families.
Yes.
So, you know, it's not always easy.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of that interim, sort of keeps them connected.
Definitely. So important. And they've done so much research on the value of visitors.
Yes.
Like whether they're related or not, they need to feel like they're
being... absolutely. Sometimes they just want someone to hold their hand or have a cuddle. You know, it's just wonderful. They have teddy bears and they have babies, and you can just see when they need a little bit of love. You can see what they're looking for.
Yes.
And it's just picking up on that and knowing where to be at the right time.
But you've got the human skills, that people-centred approach to pick up on what makes that person tick, what they do require.
Yeah, I do feel like I'm not blowing my own horn here, but horn. I do feel like I do have a sense of knowing people when somebody needs something or when somebody does not need you. Yes. And not overdoing it.
Yes.
I do make the odd mistake sometimes. It's very rare. But, but I do, yeah.
But that's brilliant. Mm. So I love the idea of you going from the ultimate selfish teenager to the complete opposite now in your middle age.
Absolutely.
You know, to be all about the other. But by being about the other, you're actually helping...
It's the best job in the world.
Everyone.
It's not like a job. Actually,
no. Well, you don't
it's
see
not like
it as
a job.
That.
No, and that is the perfect thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
just loving what you do.
Coming from the wellness experience that you've had, coming as an entrepreneur, you're building up your community locally massively.
Yes.
Like already, I think one care home has sent you to their sister care home because they know how brilliant you've done for them, and so they're sort of spreading you even further.
Yeah.
Do you know what the next stages are, or are you as well just going with the flow of your own career?
Actually, I've just recently enrolled on a publishing course since doing that course that we did. And so I want to publish a book on dementia for carers and family.
Yes, done.
And then I also want to do some activity books that you can get free when you buy the book. So not just making money, but actually giving something in return as well.
Brilliant.
And then that might be something that care homes want to have within the care homes as well.
Well, they absolutely do.
Yeah.
Only recently I spoke to the head of a care home group.
Really?
And they are trying to get their head around how activities should be run going forward. Should it be external experts coming in and bringing the love, or should they train up more of the carers internally and get them to deliver? And as you say, like, what kind of activities are going to suit? Because it's not one size fits all in any
way. No, absolutely.
So that will be brilliant to have alongside.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that.
So that's for families as well as carers?
Yes, absolutely. You know, so for people that are just early diagnosed, they might not have a clue. I know there are books out there, but seeing it from different perspectives, you know, of families that go in and families that talk to me about it, what their concerns are, you know, where do they go to get more information, what do they do for when the house needs to be sold, what do they do, is it the right thing to put them into a care home, all these things that I hear people talking about, is my mum, you know, going to be able to do that activity? I don't think she likes that. The thing is, with the dementia, and what I've learned is that people change. They may have been absolutely outgoing, running around like a nutter, going swimming, doing singing, playing games, and then totally come into themselves and don't want to communicate, don't want to do anything. Whereas it also goes the other way around. So some people will just say, no, my mum doesn't like that. And you're like, well,
she loves
it when I do it with her. And there's no, oh no, you're wrong, that's, it's just like, give it a try now, because she's changed. Something's different.
So if the brain has rewired or has lost part of its capacity, then you must experiment.
So it's a good way. It's a good way to deepen that connection, I think, when you, it's a whole new world. So you know, it's not the be all and end all, it's actually just a different.
And I genuinely feel closer to mum now with full-blown dementia than I ever did, even though we were close. And then Rocky as teenagers, obviously. But, I now know her, or feel like I know her better, because the mask has dropped.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's
That
is the wonderful side of it. There is a nice side as well.
There is. Activities, as you said, you know, sometimes it'll just be, let's all throw a beach ball around and hope that 90% of the group enjoy it. But it has got to be tailor-made. But how do we have the capacity of enough employees to be able to do that?
Well, this is it, obviously. I mean, a lot of care homes have an activities coordinator. I mean, as far as I'm aware, most of them have activities coordinators. And those activity coordinators will get to know those residents and what they like, and then tailor activities or entertainment and know which people don't want to be in the room at that time. And they even have schools that go along, and they take the little children from school to go along, and they play the games with the children. And they absolutely love that. They
do
love
intergenerational stuff works, doesn't it?
Very much so.
Like those lovely ladies, now currently residents in the care home, would have gone into the primary schools and read with them. Why not the primary school kids now go and read in return?
Yeah, no, it's wonderful.
Do you see that? Do you see the younger ones going in and it making a difference?
Yeah, one of the care homes that I go to, I don't go in on particular days to do my one-to-one with the lady because the kindergarten or the primary school go in there. And it's literally, you know, two or three little children around one resident and they're doing puzzles together or somebody's playing Skittles with another one. Or you've got a little group over here that are singing and dancing with, you know, and even when I go in to do a one-to-one, if I mess that up and I'm there at the same time and I'm doing exercise with someone, then the teacher will bring them over and we'll all do the exercises together.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And it's important for those kids to see people
absolutely
with dementia.
Yeah, they need to know.
Yeah, and not be afraid, not feel like they're, you know, got anything to worry about.
No,
that this is part of life.
Yep.
The good, the bad, the ugly,
exactly.
And everything.
And they've
in
all got grandparents as well, so, you know, something is going to happen along the line, so at some stage they'll be aware of what's going on.
Brilliant. I'm so excited for the book, Donna. I think that sounds amazing. Is the publishing course online, or can you?
It's an online publishing course, and I started in January, and I had a little bit of flus, ups and downs, so it's been a bit of a slow start. But it's a 9-month course, so I've literally today started putting the outline together.
Well, you'll have to come back and tell us more.
I mean, my mum will laugh if she hears this and say, publishing a book, your English is terrible. But you know what? There's ghostwriters, there's AI, GI, ChatG, whatever.
Yeah, that can
there's
all...
lots of help.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I think that would be brilliant. As you say, there's such a demand for it.
Definitely.
Everyone's got questions surrounding dementia.
Yeah.
We all need confidence to be able to handle dementia.
Yes.
Like, I definitely felt that.
Yeah, not to be scared of it.
Yeah.
Not to be scared of it.
And the kind of knee-jerk response to dementia when anyone ever mentions it is, yes, it's a horrendous, cruel disease. And we all agree with that. And we're not, you know, burying our heads in the sand, but we are also looking for those nuggets of joy.
Absolutely.
And we know there's electricity via amazing people like you bringing it. And it's knowing that there are those elements of hope within.
Families need to see that as well. They need to be able to hold on to that.
Definitely. And we know the residents will match our
expression. Exactly. I was just going to say, if they can see that the family are happy, then it's not going to be a burden on them knowing, you know, because they come in and out of these stressful times in their head. But if, you know, they've got a positive attitude going on around them, that's really going to help.
They match it.
Yeah.
Oh, Donna, it's been amazing to talk to you today.
Thank you.
Thank you
for asking
so much.
Me.
Thank you.